5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications studios. We're talking to the one and only Cody Tucker, founder and publisher of 7220sports.com, live from Mountain West Media Days in Las Vegas. Cody, it's nice and cool where you are, right?
It is where I am. I'm in the Mandalay Bay right now, drinking an ice cold diet aspartame, and life is good. But Brady, I had a request for you. Okay. Is there any way I can get a new walk up song?
What do you want, man?
Could we do some Pantera Slayer? I'm sure Jaden's got some maybe some Cannibal Corpse back there or something.
Jade, find that. Make sure we're okay with everything. Cody, you're not feeling the Red Hot Chili Peppers, huh?
I hate the Red Hot Chili Peppers, in fact.
Oh, my goodness, Codes. You're killing me. We connect on the harder rock for sure, but I think we lose each other when it comes to the Chili Peppers.
Yes, I am out on them. You can have them.
All right, so what's it been like, man? What's been standing out to you talking to all these coaches? Hey, and I hear a CSU coach was there this year instead of like last year. Noah Dazio.
He sure was. And you know what's funny? San Diego State's SID looks just like Steve Adazio, too. So,
so you're like, what about the hell?
He about gave Justin Michael a heart attack. But no, it's good, man. Of course, you know, Commissioner Thompson talking about all the movement and everything and basically saying the Mountain West is just trying to be nimble and, you know, make moves accordingly if needed. If not, he's very happy with this 12-team, the 12-team Mountain West. And also, he's you know, he was talking about how he's upset about the lack of expansion in the college football playoff, and I know he kind of spearheaded that. So, you know, it's that same typical type of year, Brady, where everybody's optimistic and everybody's 0-0 and all those cliches. But you know, it's there's a level of excitement here. This is the first really normal Mountain West Media Days we've had in a few years without the C word and all that stuff. So it's been good, man. Everybody's in a good mood. And it's football season, man. Unofficial kickoff, so everybody's in a good mood.
This usually signals it, doesn't it? With the Craig Thompson stuff, too, I mean, did you read between the lines any? I mean, obviously he's on the phone probably 24/7 trying to figure out what can we do? Because you and I have been talking about it. What can we do to bolster this thing up? Because, you know, as we get to the nitty-gritty of all this, I mean, I was listening to Nick Saban talk, and he's like, hey, unfortunately, fortunately, whatever, it's probably going to benefit the haves and hurt the have-nots, and the Mountain West Conference is just going to be busting their tail to make sure they're a conference full of haves.
Yeah, and you just got to be active and not reactive, right? And that's what I think he's trying to do, but it's also you're kind of doing nothing. I think they're more worried about losing members than they are gaining members. And I know in talks with Tom Berman, the athletic director at the University of Wyoming, he is not a fan of cutting the pie any more than it already is between these 12 member institutions. So if anybody's coming in, they better be, you know, they better be adding to the pie as well as taking their slice. So, and what that means is, I would assume an Oregon State, you know, right, a Washington State, that's not bringing on any other charity cases, just add teams. And that's not anything the Mountain West is looking forward to.
Okay, I was going to ask you that next. If, you know, because if the Pac-12, I mean, who knows what's going to happen now. But, you know, 2 weeks ago, I was feeling like, man, CU's out, Arizona's out, Arizona State, Utah, Washington, they're all going to be gone. And what's going to be left is, like, what, four teams in the Pac-12? Would it, I mean, in your mind, and I guess you kind of already said it, I don't, does it make sense for the Oregon States of the world to become a Mountain West team?
Well, and that's the thing. Do they become a Mountain West team, or does the Mountain West become a Pac-12?
That's right.
Does it become the Pac-12? I don't know. I think that's the only way you can look. And geographically, I mean, not that we care about geographic anything in college football anymore, but geographically, the Mountain West is just so unique, and it's us and the Pac-12. That's it. So it seems weird to think of any other teams. I know I've heard like a Memphis thrown around, stuff like that, but they're not going to add just to add. Somebody's got to bring some legitimacy to this because it's all about TV. And there, you know, you can get some TV out of the Cals and the Stanfords and the Oregon States and the Washington States, but you're not getting that out of Memphis. So they're just being – what I think Craig Thompson is doing is he's being proactive as far as here's plan B if this goes down.
Yeah. I think that's what you have to do, right, is kind of, like you said, make all of your necessary calls, but be ready for anything, because I don't know that we're done with this stuff just yet before this season. I don't think we're ever going to be done with it. You talked about his frustration on the playoff side of things, too. I've always said this, and I know money is the only thing we really care about at the higher level, but I've always said this. Like, why not expand this thing to the point where you're ultimately having a rep from every conference? And I know it would suck for, like, 2 or 3 years, but I tend to believe that the Wyomings of the world, the CSUs of the world, might even get more 3.5 to 4-star recruits because they think, I could go win my conference in the Mountain West, I could go to the playoffs, rather than go ride the bench for Alabama for 2 years. I truly believe that it would, in 10 years, if you add more playoffs, you would grow this thing like we've never seen it before.
Oh, it makes way too much sense.
Right.
And also, who's not going to watch that on TV?
Yeah. I mean,
everybody and their mother is going to watch that. And the crazy part about the playoff expansion is the Pac-12 is one of the conferences that didn't want it.
Yeah.
And they're often on the outside, not looking in anyway. And now they're really on the outside. It's weird.
It's totally weird, and I get it. I've talked to Power Five guys, and they say the same thing as well. They see a loss of money somewhere, and I'm just thinking, wow, you turn the bowl games into a playoff game. You know that we watch bowl games, Cody. If Wyoming's in it, we're gonna watch the Domino's Pizza, Be Kind Rewind bowl game or whatever those are. But if they're actually playoff games, you mean to tell me that? I mean, suddenly it's like March Madness here. We're getting into all of the bowl festivities because they're playoffs. It might be blowouts the first few couple years in that first round, but over time, I think it would kind of even out.
Yeah, and guess what? A Baltimore-Maryland County once in a while jumps up and beats a Virginia.
Exactly. And wouldn't that
exactly
be must-see?
See?
I mean, Cody, I know you know this, and we don't. You know, in Wyoming, they don't like to talk about it, but CSU battled it out with Alabama like 5 years ago. I know they only, they lost by 21 or whatever, but I looked at that as a victory. I mean, the spread was probably like 38 or 40, and you lost by 21. It can happen. Weird things can happen in college sports in general.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, if you think about it, Wyoming is 3-0 in their last three games against SEC opponents, beating Missouri, beating Ole Miss on the road, and beating Tennessee on the road. It can be done. I mean, with regularity, probably not. Like a full 12-game schedule, probably not. But we've seen it in this conference. We've seen the Cinderellas with Utah and TCU and especially Boise State. So it can be done. And I don't see... Tell me anybody in America who didn't want to watch Boise State play in the Fiesta Bowl against Oklahoma, especially after that game. They were must-watch.
No question. And right now, you look at Boise State, and I mean, heck, even Air Force. I mean, I know, again, all of us don't want to talk about Air Force, but Air Force, they're going to beat CU this year, probably. I mean, I know that's not saying much at this point, but Air Force can beat some teams. They're so complicated in the way they do things. So I absolutely look at a Boise State and go, man, if you were to win the Mountain West this year, and you go to a playoff game, and you're playing, a Power 5 team, there's no reason I don't think Boise State makes that thing interesting.
Yeah, and you know who the team to look out for is Fresno State with Jake Haener under center.
No question.
Jeff Tedford's back in the headset, and they have a chance early on to play USC in the Coliseum. And if there's ever a chance for Fresno State to go on the road and pull off that win, that's it. And their schedule is very favorable. So Fresno State is definitely, they were picked first in the Mountain or the West Division. There's absolutely no reason Fresno State can't do something special this year.
And that's the better example, no question. I think Fresno State's going to be fantastic. So moving on, Cody, again, talking to Cody Tucker of 7220sports.com. I wanted to get your thoughts on the media picks. What did you look at? I don't know if you can tell us what your picks were, but looking at the Mountain Division and even the West Division, you have Boise State Air Force. To me, it's Boise State Air Force and everybody else. And then, as you said, Fresno State, San Diego State should be interesting as well. But what did you think of the media preseason poll as far as where the standings might end up?
It's exactly what I picked, Brady, aside from I had UNLV a rung ahead of Nevada on the west side just because of Nevada's unbelievable turnover. Not that I believe in UNLV in any way, but I think you're dead on with that, but you got to throw Utah State in because of what they did last year, and they still have a ton of returning talent and what Blake Anderson was able to do in year one with a ton of transfers to lead them to a Mountain West title in year one was pretty incredible. But I do agree. I picked Boise State first just because, I can't imagine they're going to have another 7-5. the more I look at Air Force, though, they're really good too, and their schedule's favorable. a team. I picked CSU fourth ahead of Wyoming at five and New Mexico six. And on the flip side, I really think Fresno State's going to run away with that. San Diego State's always a pest. But to me, San Jose State's kind of an interesting case. They've got an unbelievable defense. Chavin Cordero from Hawaii is now under center at San Jose State. And if he is not the guy, Nick Nash, a guy who just has unbelievable wheels and really good quarterback, is in the wings. So talked to Brett Brennan, the head coach at San Jose State yesterday. He's the kind of guy who has you ready to run through a wall. And you're like, man, they might be able to do something special there if they can somehow find a way to beat Fresno State and San Diego State. I look for them to be kind of scary.
Well, and I know we're both Mountain West guys, but I thoroughly enjoy talking Mountain West. I thoroughly enjoy watching. And like you said, the Fresno States, Boise State, the Air Forces, there are some really good teams to pay attention to that might make some out-of-conference noise this year, too.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. And I know Cowboys have a chance right off the bat against Illinois. I believe I can't remember CSU's schedule. Who do they have? A couple right off the bat.
Some kind of Michigan team. I don't know. We'll see what happens there. Oh boy! But I'm hopeful. I think we might be on the improve with CSU. I don't know what that looks like. I think just not getting kicked out of a game is probably an improve there. So I say that loosely, man. That could be a bunch of different things. I thought it was funny. I was reading. I like to read Athlon Sports sometimes. And I thought it was funny because, Andy Avalos with Boise State's like, can he get this thing back on track after the 7-5 year? I'm like, wouldn't that be great for Wyoming? Well, CSU fans to be like, we got to get this darned thing back on track. 7-5 ain't going to cut it, bro.
No doubt. It's funny you say that, Brady. I asked Craig Bull that exact question yesterday. He said, isn't it kind of nice in a sick way that you win seven games last year and you win the Potato Bowl and people are still really pissed off and people are still want to win? And he said, absolutely. He's like, we spit the bit last year and it should have been better and we were talking championship and it didn't happen and we're all disappointed. And it is a good thing because seven wins back in the day, you're like, oh, sweet, a bowl win, sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, none of us are happy going to Boise, Idaho in December anymore. it's not acceptable anymore. And it's year nine of the bowl era. So it's time to up the ante a little bit.
So what do you think, again, where you picked Wyoming, and I think that's fair, but what do you think, talking to Coach Bull and players and just kind of getting, as you're re-immersing yourself, getting ready for the season, do you see the Cowboys maybe shocking some people? Is there a nugget there where you're kind of leaving open saying maybe they could do something, or do you think this is maybe one of those years where it's kind of a recharge type season?
Well, there are a lot of unknowns, no doubt about that. But what you got to believe in is Craig Bull is going to run the ball. He's going to be dedicated to run the ball. And Titus Wynn, to me, is the best running back in this league. And I can't believe he wasn't picked first or second team All Mountain West. But as you know, the votes at the end of the year are the ones that matter most. So I really like their offensive line. I really like the running back. They're going to be absolutely dedicated to the run. They're going to play good defense. It's just a matter of can you mix in enough passing to get the job done. And what I love is yesterday, Craig Bull looked right at me and he said, we're waiting in the weeds. Mm-hmm. And he said that to me in 2018 or in 2019 as well, when I thought, what is this team going to be? We don't even know who these guys are. And all they did was win eight games and go to the Arizona Bowl and win that too. And he even won up that. And he goes, I remember in 2016 coming to the Mountain West Media Days, and I had some guy with me named Josh Allen and another guy with me named Andrew Wingert, and we were picked dead last. And next thing you know, we were playing in the Mountain West title game at home in Laramie in War Memorial Stadium.
Yeah, that's enough to get Cowboys fans pumped up right there. I mean, you talk about that and, a lot of unknowns, and then next thing you know, look what happened, especially look what happened with Josh Allen. Yeah, you mentioned the preseason all-conference stuff. I'm with you. There's certain players I look at and go, yeah, no-brainer. I was shocked even for CSU's side of it, seeing Tanner Arkin in their tight end. I'm like, oh, Trey McBride, who? We got our tight end, man. We don't
need him. Well, to be fair, Tanner Arkin, for some weird reason, he was the only guy on our list we could vote for.
Really?
He was the only guy. And I said, who the hell is this? And I looked him up and I said, one catch for 9 yards?
So
is the tight end situation that bad?
He was the only tight end on the list?
Yes. The only one we could choose from.
Okay, so, well, that is some great inside information that I did not know. Because I'm all sitting here like, I don't even, Trey McWhat? We have Tanner freaking Arkin, dude. Not, like, this is going to be fantastic. But so
sorry
there's
to burst bubbles.
There's no other tight end on a depth chart in the Mountain West, apparently.
No Nope. Yeah, I was like, wow, our tight end, if he has one catch for 9 yards, he's the first team guy. We're in trouble.
Oh, my gosh, that is amazing. I love that. Well, you said, you know, Wyoming's running back's not out there. Were you shocked to not see? I mean, I only saw one CSU guy there, and as we said, he got there by default. That's my kind of guy, actually. It's my kind of award-winning. Were you disappointed, not disappointed, but shocked, I guess, to not see more Cowboys on this list?
Yeah, I mean, there's no Cowboys on the list, honestly. And, yeah, I mean, a little, but no. You know, Titus Wynn has been in a reserve role. Cole Goodbow has been overlooked his whole career. And Easton Gibbs is stepping up for Chad Muma. So, no, I'm not shocked. But I think, like I said, at the end of the year, that's the votes that really matter. And I think you're going to see a lot of Cowboys on that list. But the shocking part for me with CSU, I picked Torrey Horton as my number one wide receiver first team. He didn't make it. I picked Dante Wright third. He wasn't on it. I picked Daquan Jackson, linebacker. He wasn't on it. So I put a lot of Ram love in my voting, and not one of them made it. So maybe it's my fault.
This is why
I did pick Tanner Aiken, though.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, this is why Rams fans should appreciate what you do. Because, you know, I promote Wyoming stuff, and Rams fans just freak out. But I'm like, dude, Cody's the most fair one of the group. So we appreciate you, man. And there's nobody better. We absolutely love it. And I love that story about Tanner Arkin. And I'm going to just push for him even harder, man. Nobody believed in the tight end group.
I called him Tanner Aiken. That's how good this is.
This is my favorite thing in the history of the world now. Cody, this is the kind of insight you just don't get anywhere else. Poor guy. Now I'm all in on this guy, by the way, 100%.
I got something good for you, too. Okay. I got a little nugget. So in 2020, when Utah State bailed on Wyoming during the COVID year and couldn't play, it was widely rumored that Wyoming and Colorado State would play a second border war. Talking to a Mountain West official this week, that very much was going to happen.
Really?
But a certain coach put the squash on that. So that did not happen. It wouldn't have been for the bronze boot, but it would have been about 2 weeks later. It would have been Border War Part 2 in Laramie.
Are you kidding? So that was like almost to happen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, this guy said the Mountain West was going to pay for their bus fare. He was going to pay for their hotel rooms, the whole nine.
Oh, my God. And a guy's name that rhymes with Schmishmagio is the guy that turned it down?
Well, he didn't say that, but he said, yeah, I bet you can guess.
Oh, my God.
And it sure wasn't Greg Bull.
Oh, my. You know what? To be honest with you, I want to be shocked, but after everything that we saw, I'm not shocked anymore. That totally makes sense.
Well, and I get it. You know, they had good feelings after finally winning a rivalry game for the first time in 75 years. And then, also, you know, you don't want to turn around and lose to Wyoming 2 weeks later and lose that good feeling.
Well, that was the only good feeling that Adazio had, right? Was we did that, remember? And then he's losing to, you know, the Montana State. Which Montana State, I get that. But, you know, after that, he's like, but you guys remember, you know, COVID year, we found a way. So
yep.
that blows my mind. Cody, I know you got a roll, man. You got players jumping up left and right. But I appreciate you always keeping it real. I'm looking forward to our weekly discussions. Jade's my producer. Was just telling me, he's like, Cody's my favorite guest on the whole show, so you just keep doing what you do, man.
So, Jaden, hook up the Slayer, my friend. Let's do it next.
Did you? I suppose you don't have that ready, do you, Jades? No, oh man, you're slacking. Next time, next week, my friend.
Right on.
All right,
appreciate you guys.
All right, man, we'll talk to you soon. That's Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. A little insight there. How about that? So, the COVID year when Utah State did its stuff, we were about to see another border war. But maybe, maybe not. Some current coach or a former coach didn't want to do it. And then my boy Tanner Arkin. I wondered why he was on the watch list. He's a redshirt freshman at tight end. He was the only tight end on there that you could vote for. That's like, I mean, you know, the participation award. However, I do think Tanner Arkin's a stud. I think he's actually going to be pretty good. 24 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kristen McKeo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
We're pressing on in our AFC West preview. It's our Today in the NFL segment, but for the time being, we're breaking into all things AFC West. I want to get to D-linemen and edge rushers later on. We'll get that tomorrow, probably Monday too, but we're talking linebackers today. So obviously a little bit different because we're not going to be talking about the outside linebackers or edge rushers. We're just going to be talking about the interior. And there's two AFC West teams that run a 3-4 defense. There's two AFC West teams that run a 4-3 defense. Let's take a look. I've got the Broncos faring much better on the defensive side of the ball in the AFC West than I had them in the offense. I have them second in cornerback position. I have them second on the safety position. How about the linebacking core? Well, it's Josie Jewell and probably Alex Singleton. Those are the guys you're looking at for the interior. And Josie Jewell was off to a pretty good start last year, but he only played in weeks 1 and 2 before tearing his pectoral muscle. Very good tackler. They really like this guy. I mean, I even remember back to the Von Miller days. Von was a big proponent of Josie Jewell. You know, he thought that guy was going to be a big deal. But to have yet really to see him take off. So he gets the old NA rank on Pro Football Focus. We just haven't seen enough from him. So it's hard for me to look at him and say, all right, this guy's a premier linebacker. In fact, I think the inside linebacker position is the weakest one for the Broncos at this point. So it doesn't bode well. Alex Singleton taking over, played for the Eagles in 2020 and 2021. He's not a bad linebacker, but he's not like, oh, I don't know that he's over above average necessarily. He's taken over for Alexander Johnson last year, who I thought Johnson was more of a high energy linebacker. He's just all over the field. Can he guard tight ends very well? Could he guard running backs? Not necessarily. We'll see if Singleton can do that more with the Broncos, and we'll find out. Again, this is the most unknown position group to me, so it's really hard for me to give them much better than top two. But you have to look at the rest of the West. This is kind of a weakness amongst the entire division. The Chargers also run a 3-4 in their base defense. Drew Tranquil and Kenneth Murray, that's their top two guys. Kenneth Murray is not a good linebacker, folks. The Broncos might move up this ranking list just because by default. Pro Football Focus has him ranked 83rd out of 87 interior linebackers. He had 22 tackles, 7 assists last year. His rookie season was much better. He's just not good. Tranquil's a little bit better, but not much. So the Chargers, for as good as they've been in every category so far, I can already tell you, I view them as probably the fourth best or the worst middle linebacker and inside linebacking group in the AFC West. Let's move on to the Raiders. They got Denzel Perryman, and they're running a 4-3. We got to note that. They're running a 4-3, so we're kind of analyzing three linebackers particularly. Denzel Perryman is their weak side, Jayon Brown, middle linebacker, and Devin Diablo. Is another of their outside linebacker. He's all right. Brown is middle of the pack. Perryman's good. So he's probably the better linebacker that we've talked about so far. He had 121 tackles last year, 33 assists, 1 forced fumble. Didn't play in 2020. But they're looking for him to be a bigger piece to what they're doing on that Raiders defense. So not bad in the 4-3. The Chiefs also run a 4-3, and you look at their side. It's Willie Gay, pretty solid. I would say he's probably top 20 as far as in the NFL. As far as linebackers go, Jermaine Carter Jr., their middle linebacker, he's all right. Nick Bolton, though, another stud. So here you go. The Chiefs have been, I have the Chiefs as the worst cornerback group, the worst safety group. I am giving linebackers to the Chiefs, number one. I'm going to go Broncos, number two, but that's by default. Raiders sit at 3, and then we're going to go Chargers have the worst linebacking core in this group. Now, again, this is the most uncertain of position groups that I've been on all of this, just because the AFC West as a whole, inside linebacker, not good. So Denver, I have Denver, and again, through default on the linebacking side, I got him at 2 all the way through so far, at cornerback, at safety, and at linebacker. We still have yet to get to a defensive end or defensive line and the edge rushers. We'll get to edge rushers tomorrow. Broncos probably are not going to come in number two on that side, is just my guess. But I'm feeling much better about my AFC West prediction for the Broncos because of that defense. And I think the defense will really help them win a lot of games as we get used to the Russell Wilson experiment. 35 minutes after the hour, Jades. There you go. I like the Broncos defense much more than I like the offense, and that's with a Russell Wilson-led team. Let's jump out of here and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Ali Farouk-Manesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. There it is, Noob. You could always just go to the Den. They carry all of the channels there. No one's going to go to the Den to watch the Nuggets and Avalanche play, right? Or maybe during the day if it's a day game for some odd reason. There it is. We haven't hit the over in the Den mentions recently, Jades. I get it's July, but you usually get those guys right around August start really talking the Den. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Ryan Clark with ESPN, former Pittsburgh Steeler player, was pretty vocal. He's been pretty vocal about the Broncos and Russell Wilson, and maybe that this Russell Wilson thing is not as, you know, it's good for the Broncos. Obviously, they upgraded, but is it as big as we're all making it? Like, does this make the Broncos a playoff team? Here's what he had to say about Russell. Like, he basically said the time to cook is over. Basically, Russell Wilson just making things happen on the fly, all this crazy stuff that we saw him do in Seattle. He had an interesting take, so here it is.
I think it's going to be about Russell Wilson's mindset. And I love the fact that he's talking about getting a fourth or winning another Super Bowl, because he can't go there trying to win the MVP. Remember, we was all like, let Russ cook. It's time for Russell Wilson to be unleashed. I believe Russell Wilson needs to play within himself. They have great backs in Denver, especially starting with Javonte Williams, skill on the outside. But it's going to be about producing wins. And if playing as Nathaniel Hackett wants him to play, getting the ball out of his hand quickly, putting the football in the hands of playmakers, makes this offense more explosive. I believe Russell Wilson will do that. He understands that his legacy is set. He is a very good quarterback. He's a great quarterback to some that will be a Hall of Famer. But when you look at Russell Wilson, it's about getting that ring, getting that Super Bowl that we say is his, that he was the driving force to leading a team to that game. And we haven't seen that from him, whether it's the one they won earlier in the season or earlier in his career. Or as his career grew and he became the guy, not getting his team there. That's what Denver is about for both Russ and the Denver Broncos. Play within yourself. Don't think about the moon ball. Don't think about the explosive plays. Don't think about extending the play. Think about the winning plays. And I believe that's the best Russell Wilson you can have for the Denver Broncos.
And listen, he's not wrong on that take, you know, as far as Russell's in this offense now where he's got to view it as he can't be the man every single play. I don't know what changes he wanted to see from Seattle on the offensive side of the ball, but he wanted changes. And for better or worse, Carroll wasn't willing to go there, and Seattle kind of chose their coach and their staff over Russell Wilson, even though they moved on from their offensive coordinator a couple years ago. This, to me, when I hear that, because I tend to agree, this is why I've been telling you the number one position group on the offense for the Broncos is the running back, is the running back position, and that's Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon. Even Mike Boone, to some extent, is nice to have as a backup that can help out if one of those guys goes down, and that's kind of inevitable, especially when you're running the football in the NFL. But I do agree, and I will be curious. You asked me yesterday if I think Albert O is going to be a better tight end, you know, in the AFC West, and I have the Broncos as the worst tight end crew in the division, but that's because I don't know enough. Albert O was behind Noah Fant, and I don't know that he was ever really a big. And it's hard for me to evaluate anybody on the offensive side knowing that they were under Pat Shurmur control, Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur. I mean, nobody's really succeeding in that offense. Their plan was, what is it? Don't die. That's what their offensive plan was to survive, play defense, kick field goals. That's what it was. So I do think that if Albert O, Greg Dulcich are going to have a chance to be better, you're going to have to see Russell Wilson do something that he didn't do a lot in Seattle, and that's utilize the tight end game. And then he's going to utilize the running back game. I'll be curious to see if Javonte and Gordon are used more once in a while out of that backfield passing game. Gordon, certainly, I could see that. But I do agree with what Ryan Clark had to say as far as Wilson can't come in and play hero ball right off the bat. We're going to have to slowly grow this offense where he's relying on his guys more so than just taking off scrambling. He's a smart guy, so he's not a one read and go quarterback. He's never been that kind of guy. But you know, one of the reports I read is that Russell wants to run more. He wants more designs in that. I don't know what we're feeling on that side of it now, because I mean, he's not getting any younger. It's harder to do that. I can't see him adding more running to his game than what we saw in Seattle. But I'm talking a lot about Javonte, and this is his sophomore year. You know, he was a rook last year. He was at the almost 1,000-yard rushing rook, but there's still a lot of pressure on him to succeed. I think that the Broncos, in order for them to win the AFC West, like I said, I like the defense, but you can't win this thing on defense. You know, defense is going to hold you, keep you in games, but Denver's going to have to get to that point where they can run the ball, ground and pound, and then open up stuff down the field. I also, you know, I have them as the third best wide receiver corps in the AFC West. That just means I don't think Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick are going to be absolute, you know, go to them and look out everybody else, guaranteed 20-yard catch down the field. I'm not going to rely on that. I'm looking at the Broncos to be able to methodically drive down the field. And, you know, Russell's maybe 5-yard tight end pass here, a quick little slant route here to Cortland Sutton. I don't know that there's going to be a lot of home run footballs. And we'll see. Nathaniel Hackett was with Aaron Rodgers, and that was about the home run ball. But I more or less think that this is going to be a running football team that when Russell Wilson has to throw the ball, he's going to do it very well. I don't know how many times he's going to throw it per game. And listen, I'm not saying that Russell is Teddy Bridgewater. You're going to utilize Russell's strengths. I just don't know that we're lining up in shotgun every time and we're just, you know, trips right, whatever. We're throwing wide receivers out left and right. I don't see that happening. And this is, again, why I continue to say the pressure to me is on Javonte Williams. The pressure's on Dalton Reisner and Garrett Bowles. And this offensive line is, I mean, Graham Glasgow, Gwen Miners, Billy Turner at right tackle, Lloyd Cushenberry. Who's it going to be on that right side? Dalton Reisner's trying to earn a contract. There's so much to gain here for the running game. And that's not just Javonte and Melvin Gordon. That's this offensive line that you're putting it on. And Garrett Bowles and Reisner both had great 2020s, but 2021s were rough for both of them to the point where we're wondering, is Dalton going to lose his job to Nitane Moody, let alone try to save a contract and stay in Denver? So to me, there's a lot of big question marks that I feel pretty confident about the Broncos answering and going and making this rushing attack something very special. So, all right, that's going to do it for us. We'll take a quick break here, wrap up on the other side. We got Rocky's Rundown coming up. Tanner Schwint and Jerry Schimmel bringing you that program. I love it. What do they think? Are the Rockies buyers or sellers? Can they really make a run at that wild card spot this second half of the season? I'll be curious to listen to that program. Rocky's Rundown coming up at 2 o'clock here on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1. And 1310 KFKA. We'll be right back. What's on tonight when we return? It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
See, that would have been good for our boy Cody Tucker. Little Pantera right there. Yeah, that would have been good for him. Do thank Cody for jumping on with us short notice live from Las Vegas for the Mountain West Media Days. Dude, go back and listen to that podcast. Cody gave us some stuff, didn't he? Like that maybe CSU and Wyoming were supposed to play in 2020 again, but a certain coach maybe didn't want to do that. that's crazy. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. I'll just give you a hint. The coach is not here anymore. He's not coaching in the Mountain West anymore. What's on the tube tonight? We got baseball back in action. Anything in particular that's grabbing your attention, Jade? You're the out-of-market baseball guy. I'll get back in the swing of things tomorrow, Friday night, when the Rockies are set to go up against Milwaukee and see if they can pull off a crazy upset. But what's piquing your interest right now?
I'm kind of intrigued by this Yankees-Astros doubleheader.
Yeah,
today.
Doubleheader already. Yeah, doubleheader right out the gates. Got to love that.
Yeah, but that's about it. I mean, the Dodgers play tonight, but that's about it, really.
Well, yeah, Dodgers and Giants, but the doubleheader, I think Houston's winning 2-1 right now, right? I think we're going into the ninth inning, so we'll see. Baseball's back into the swing of things. Broncos training camp starts next week. Tomorrow is our last show without some kind of Broncos activity happening, at least within the year. So, boy, I'm ready to rock and roll. We are just a few weeks away from college football teams checking in and getting ready for their practices. We got a lot moving and shaking here on Northern Colorado's Voice. No need to go away. Got betting across America. Rockies Rundown. Rockies Rundown. I do it every Thursday, man. What day is it? Rockies Rundown with our guys Tanner Schwint and Jerry Schimmel coming up next. They'll preview the second half of the season. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.